The Fog Podcast is brought to you by Calm Seas Crafts of Hilton Head.
And greetings, ladies and gentlemen! Welcome back to the Fog Podcast, and this is episode number 6. Woo! That's right. This is the one you've all been waiting for. This is what we've been leading up to in the past 5 episodes, and hopefully you've been along for the ride. So today we are going to talk about what happened to us 22 years ago, believe it or not. So we are back, the four old guys, the Fog Podcast. I'm Dave Pandisio, joined as always by my sidekicks,
Jeff Gibbs
and Norm Broder.
And down south by phone, we have James JT Tiroli. Hey, JT.
Hello, you northern bug zoom.
And JT is a key component to this story, which let me hit a little fanfare here. It was 22 years ago, almost to the day as we record this, but we'll go November 3rd, 2002. The four of us got on a bus and headed to Buffalo to go see the Patriots.
Yes.
And it wasn't just any old Patriots game.
And it wasn't any old Patriots team either. Let me remind you, Bondo, these are the Super Bowl champion Patriots.
That's right.
Talking about.
2002, they had just won the Super Bowl. So we got in on this trip thanks to Norm. It was going to be the very first time that the Patriots and Tom Brady played against Drew Bledsoe after they traded him.
Yep.
So it was the first time the two were going to meet.
Yeah.
And it was a great game.
It promised to be an epic clash.
Oh yeah,
and we were going to be there for it.
Oh yes, yeah. So we hopped the bus in what, Waltham or somewhere in Mass.
Yeah. Little background. So my brother-in-law Gino, a big longtime Patriots fan, and some of my other brother-in-laws have been going to see Patriots for years, and this was such an epic event.
Yeah.
That they wanted to get everyone together, and they rented a charter bus,
mm-hmm.
and all of us got the opportunity to ask some of our closest football fanatics. So, of course, I thought of the other three old guys.
Not so old at the time.
Yeah.
Not so old. We were mid-age guys.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
But there were, what do we guess, over 100 people on this
bus? It was
bus?
A packed bus.
Yes.
You know, big old charter bus,
yeah.
four seats across.
Yep.
Full of nothing but crazy football fan guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a hotel.
That's right. We had a hotel booked. And
well, we watched the replay from the Super Bowl the whole way there, if you remember. And it was like being at the game.
Oh, because they had videos on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That was one of the videos on the bus.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah.
One of the many.
Yes. But anyway, that was a 10-hour ride? Or
8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, something like that. 8 hours,
but all the way down the highway, we'd be seeing other charter buses going by.
Yeah.
Hooting and hollering and people in pickup trucks with Patriot flags and stuff. So it wasn't just...
A lot of Pats fans.
Yeah.
It was a spirited ride.
Oh. It was.
Yeah.
It was. So we take the ride all the way to Buffalo. We stayed, at the Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
And... the Patriots walloped the Bills that day. It was 38-7.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
Great game from Pat's perspective.
Absolutely.
Let me throw a few stats at everybody here just to set the background.
There we go.
November 3rd, 2002, nine months to the day after our Pats win Super Bowl 36. Pats are coming into the game after a red-hot 3-0 start. They'd lost 4 in a row, so a bit of a skip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into the game 3-4. Bills 5-3, having won 3 in a row. So, you know, the Bills and the Bills fans are looking for blood.
Oh, they're feeling good.
Yeah.
They're feeling good.
They got superstar quarterback Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe.
on the team. So, you know, they're looking great. Full house at Ralph Wilson Stadium, 73,000 plus. And, you know, that's what we were getting into.
Yeah.
Right?
Little stat give you, I'm going to throw at you here. Ralph Wilson Stadium is architecturally the same as the old Schaefer Stadium.
No.
Identical.
Why?
Stadium. Yeah. Why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
That's right. And back at that time, it had artificial turf.
Yes,
now
yes, it did.
Now it has regular grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just a little stat there.
We got to know that stadium pretty well. We really did.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It's kind of our home away from home.
We have any other stats to throw at the audience?
We do, yeah. Just a couple things. In this game, and remember, Brady was still pretty new with the Patriots. They'd coming off the Super Bowl win. Brady went 22 for 26 for 265 yards. Crazy efficiency.
Not a bad day.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns, zero interceptions, mm-hmm. only one sack. Not bad.
Not bad.
On the other line, Bledsoe went 28 for 45, not quite as efficient, for 302 yards. So he beat him on yards, but clearly not as efficient. One touchdown, one interception, and four sacks.
Mm. Ooh.
So here's
tough
the tale.
Tough day at the office yeah. for Mr. Bledsoe.
Yes, it was. Here's the tale of the tape at the end. The Pats ended the season 9-7. And did not make the playoffs. The Jets, Pats, and Dolphins all ended the season 9-7. Gosh, that's the last time the Jets ever had a good record.
Winning season.
And at the end of the year, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah. Wow.
On 1/26/2003.
Wow.
So that's it. That's the stats for the game.
Okay. There you go, folks. That's the story. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we went to a Patriots game.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not quite the end of the story.
That is not the story. Something else happened at that football game.
There's more to that story.
Oh, there's a lot more to that story. And we are going to tell you about it after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
When you're looking to reach for a beer during the game, you're not looking for any old boring top beer. You want something new, manly, with a bold taste. You want Steer Beer. That's right. Steer Beer is new. Steer Beer is manly. Steer Beer is here. We brew our beer with whole milk, hops, malted grains, yeast, and 100% grass-fed USDA choice beef. Steer Beer has a taste like you've never experienced before in your life. And once you try it, you'll never forget it. Look for it in the meat department at your local grocery store. Steer Beer is here. And coming soon, our new chicken-flavored beer, Buck Buck Beer. Part of the Steer Beer family.
A day at the beach is just a click away at Calm Seas Crafts of Hilton Head. If you're looking for ocean-inspired handmade gifts, search out Calm Seas on Facebook, Instagram, or Etsy. You'll find a wide variety of home decor gifts inspired by the colors of the sea. If you own a beach house or lake house or are just looking to spruce up your deck or pool area, Calm Seas may be just what you're looking for. Calm Seas creator Amy Woods encourages you to shop all her platforms.
If you see anything you love, message me and I can ship my products to you. I also do custom orders, and if you are ever in Hilton Head, visit one of my pop-ups at the local farmers markets. Thanks so much.
Calm Seas, where every day's a beach day.
And now back to the Fog Podcast.
All right, boys. We are back. And we're back at the stadium, right? Right?
That's right.
So, we got to get into the story now. What makes this story unique, and why was it such a big deal? Well, the reason is because of our friend there down in Florida. JT, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we were at, let's tell the story of at the...
It starts even before the stage.
Okay, go ahead.
So Sunday morning, we get up. Everyone's pumped for a game.
Oh, yeah.
Get up early because we're getting to the stadium early.
That's right.
So, you know, 100 guys out there full of vim and vigor, waiting for the bus in the hotel parking lot. And some guys, like our good friend JT, he's got a little extra energy.
Yes, he did.
So, JT, as I recall, you're using that extra energy to run a few patterns. Is that right? What patterns do you recall running in the parking lot that day?
Straight down the middle, or
go long.
A button hook. Yeah.
And somebody had a ball.
Yeah.
So we were playing a little catch.
Yeah, we were tossing the pigskin around.
Who was quarterbacking? That's a key thing. Does anybody know?
You know, I thought I was covering old Spider Legs JT. That's where I thought I was. So I think one of you two might have been the quarterback.
Could be.
What do you think? Do you have any memory?
Could be.
JT, do you remember?
No, I don't. I do remember that Jeff was the unfortunate defensive
okay.
At that time.
So it was either you or me, bro. I'm going to say it was probably me. I got the shoulder. I got the arm.
Yeah,
I must have been so. Hiking.
Maybe you were rushing, you know?
Oh, yeah,
1,001, 1,002.
All right.
So naturally, Dave must have called for the, you know, the long...
Yeah, the bomb.
Yeah. And JT was only too willing to run that pattern.
I'm on it, yeah.
And we have to start out by saying we were on grass when we were hiking the ball. We were on the grass.
But ended up on asphalt.
But the pattern, the running pattern, went long into the parking lot. Yeah.
Yes. So, myself, I dropped back to pass. Yep.
Yes.
I had plenty of time.
Uh-huh.
Good
and
line.
I launched one.
A beautiful
and,
one.
Oh, it was a beauty.
Well over the defensive ability to catch. In fact, I would have said that ball was uncatchable. Not everyone would have agreed with that.
And so, JT, what did you do? You laid yourself out, didn't you?
Well, I put a burst of speed on. I knew it was a little chilly. I wasn't freezing, but it was Buffalo cold. Yeah. So we had some winter layers on. I had a long parker on. That's our ideal catch the football apparel.
Oh, we're getting a wardrobe breakdown as well.
Nonetheless, seeing the ball within my sights, I put a little extra burst of speed to get away from Crazy Legs again. And just as the ball, which was a beautiful throw from my Italian buddy.
Thank you. Faison.
Was entering my hands, I happened to step in a drainage swale, and I lost my balance, but continued the effort of catching the ball, and I rolled.
Yeah.
I dropped and rolled, and hit the ground pretty good, came up with the ball, and shortly thereafter, as we were recapitulating the great pass and catch, I realized that I had hurt my shoulder.
Yeah.
On the drop and roll.
Yeah, holy moly.
Let's be clear, though. It was the drop on the pavement roll.
Yeah. Let me just mention, too, that the four of us haven't talked this out in a long, long time. That's why we wanted to do this podcast, because we haven't talked about this. And I didn't remember that. You actually, like, tripped and fell?
Well, it was more of because of there was a gentle swale leading to a catch basin, which I avoided.
Okay.
Thank God. I lost my balance more so.
Okay.
Than tripping, but it forced my upper body to pitch forward, and I realized it, and I was like, "Oh, I better tuck and roll, or I'm going to do a face plant in the asphalt."
So, from my perspective, JT, you dove for the football in the parking lot. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Did you make the catch? Is what I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I did.
You made the catch, so it was all worth it.
Yeah.
It was all worth it.
He came up, ball held high, in the good arm.
Yeah.
But the other arm, not so good.
Oh, man. So ladies and gentlemen, he gave himself up for that. He put his body out on the line for us.
And we actually continued to play for a few more plays.
Oh, man.
And I finally said something to one of the guys.
Take me out, coach.
I said,
I'm in excruciating pain. Is that what you might have said?
So JT hurt himself pretty bad, but we still got on the bus. But before we left, take it, bro.
So, you know, when he hit the pavement, got up quickly, we're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. Hey, JT.
Not bad for a 40-year-old. Yeah,
exactly. He said, hey, how you feeling? Yeah, I'm good. And like JT was saying, I think about 5 minutes later, he's like, hey, this is starting to really hurt. So, you know, we said, oh, wow. And we happened to have a chiropractor. His name was Tim in the group. And so that was the closest we had to, like, you know, a medical professional. So he said, hey, Tim, would you maybe take a look at him? Give us your opinion. So he went over and he, you know, poking and prodding. And then he came over to me afterwards and I said, well, what's the consensus? And he said, well, he might want to go to the hospital. You know, he looks like he's hurting a little bit. And that, like, yeah, huh. Well, we're due with the tailgater in about 5 minutes.
We don't really have time for that.
You have another medical opinion? He goes, yeah, 1,500 milligrams ibuprofen and we'll immobilize him. Yeah, that's good. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Yeah. So we said, well, how you immobilize him? He said, oh, go get a bed sheet. So off someone went to the chambermaid's cart. Hey, can I borrow a sheet? I promised to bring it back. Yeah. Came over to Tim. Tim did his thing and did this really nice, like...
It was actually very good, yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was tender. And afterwards, I said to him, this is your first Medicare patient. You're not going to get paid for this.
I should also mention, folks, that we have a Facebook page. If you search The Fog Podcast on Facebook, we're going to put pictures up from this event. And I believe we do have a picture of JT getting that contraption put on him.
That's true.
So we will post that.
So anyway, we mobilized it. I think the ibuprofen started kicking in. And the bus showed up miraculously right about that time, and we all jumped on board and started the adventure.
Yep. Took the bus ride to Ralph Wilson Stadium. I remember we got off the bus, had a few pictures taken in front of the stadium, and is that the end of the story?
Well, not exactly,
Dave. Not even close.
Our audience don't think the three of us are heartless assholes. We actually did decide that we needed to seek medical
attention
to our friend JT.
Yeah,
and naturally we thought, well, let's get closer to the stadium. Surely there's an ambulance or something there.
So this was probably what, around 9 a.m. 9 or 10 a.m.
9 a.m.
We found an entrance to the stadium. It was a big chain link fence, and one of us went up and talked to security.
We did the guilt thing. We told him that he had injured himself in the parking lot.
In the parking lot.
Yeah. And but we didn't we eat first before we went in?
Oh,
there was
right.
Major tailgating going on.
That's true.
Yeah. I think we ate before we brought him.
You never want to get worked on an empty stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to keep his energy.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, that was a classic tailgater. They did clam chowder and
it was massive.
It was massive, and they had a tent and music, and it was great.
Yeah,
super.
Yeah.
So we did make our way to the fence, and we saw the security guards there. And of course, 9 o'clock, nobody's there.
Yeah. Probably.
And we guilted him by saying he had hurt himself in the parking lot.
Yeah. So they let all four of us in the gate.
We
all got in the gate.
All four.
Oh.
You guys took JT to the medical tent, correct? I know I stayed back.
I don't know.
I stayed back.
Okay.
Because
we'll go with that.
But you were inside the gate.
I was inside the gate.
But you just kind of stayed.
I stayed there. I think you guys took him because while I was standing at the gate, Tom Brady comes walking in right in front of me with a suitcase or whatever, comes walking in, and I'm like, hey, Tom, good luck today. And he looked at me and just nodded, and he walked in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was tough. That's so cool.
Well, don't forget, security searched his bag. You've got a photo of.
That's true.
Yes, I do have a picture. Yeah.
Hey.
Oh.
So we took JT, brought him, And I just want to set the visual as well. We're all wearing Patriots gear. We got Patriots logos all over us, right? Maybe it was one of the reasons this happened. But we went to the trailer where they said the medical guy was, and you know, there's no activity, knock on the trailer. It's like a trailer park trailer, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And this kid opens the door, and we're like, okay, it's like Doogie Howser. He goes, what do you want? Is a doctor here? We got someone injured. And he goes, oh, no, he's not going to be here till 11. We're like, oh, boy, now we're in trouble. And at that moment, I can remember whoever it was that was out at the gate, if it was you, Dave, or something, joined the party. And all of a sudden, the four of us are in there. The four old guys are in the perimeter.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is where the story takes the turn.
That's right. And that's when our friend Gibby said.
I remember saying, I remember we're like getting ready to leave. We're going back to the bus, and Mr. Gibbs says, guys, we're in the stadium.
What do you mean we're leaving? We're in.
Yeah.
We're in.
Mr. Gibbs says, let's walk around.
And of course, the three other guys.
We're like, no, we can't do that. Yeah, we can't walk around. We're going to get kicked out. And he's like, nah, come on. So we follow Mr. Gibbs and...
See, this is where, if my kids are listening to this podcast, there you're going, Dad always says, act like you own the place.
That's right. So we start sauntering around Ralph Wilson Stadium.
All by ourselves.
There's nobody around.
Yeah.
Like, no security, nobody around.
Do you remember the setting? Like, the stadium is a bowl.
Yep.
It's sunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when you're entering the seating area, you're looking
down
from ground level.
Yeah.
And do you remember there was a whole press corps on one side? They're doing the pregame press corps stuff. And then there was a gentleman down on the sideline doing some cleanup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guards.
Nothing. Yeah. No. Yeah. Nobody. And we walked down right down to the very first row before the field.
Yeah.
And we're standing there. We took a couple of pictures.
Yep.
And once again, Mr. Gibbs. This is where it really gets nuts.
Yeah.
Mr. Gibbs says, hey, guys, why don't we jump down onto the field? And I remember saying, no way. We are going to get kicked out. There's no way.
Handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And we ended up jumping down on the field. I was freaked out. I remember that.
Don't you remember there were security guys all around the upper perimeter, nobody on the field?
At one point, I remember, and I thought it was a little later, but I remember turning around and looking and seeing all this security.
Yeah.
With their backs to us.
We broke through the wall.
It's crazy. So here we are down on the field.
Yep.
Thank you to JT for his injury. He's still wrapped up in his... Yeah. In his
And JT was a trooper this whole time. Not a word of complaint.
No, no.
I think he was excited at the rest
of
the
season. How, were you in a lot of pain, JT?
Yeah, I would say so.
You could say so.
But what helped, too, was the jacket that I had was the blue color of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
as were the pants.
Although there was some Patriots regalia on our heads, my other compatriots had some Patriots stuff on. My jacket was nondescript and Buffalo blue, so I think it didn't draw attention.
Yeah.
Right.
The only reason it was nondescript is the sling was covering the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah.
So picture it, ladies and gentlemen, the four guys, the four old guys, the Fog Podcast crew down on the field at Ralph Wilson Stadium where the Buffalo Bills are about to take on the Patriots. And we're walking around on the field. Mm. And we just can't believe it. So we get around to the 50-yard line, and what do we see?
Joe Willie vacuuming the...
Well, who is the quarterback?
The logo.
The famous quarterback there at Buffalo.
Jim.
Jim Kelly. So it was halftime was the Jim Kelly Awards ceremony. They were going to retire his number or something.
Mm-hmm.
So... As we're on the field, and I think we were crossing it to get to the Patriots side because we're on the Buffalo side.
Yeah.
And as we're crossing it, there's a guy out in the middle of the field, and he's vacuuming
the field.
He's vacuuming the field. And
specifically the logo, right at the 50-yard
right
line.
At the spiffing up the field.
He's doing a great job getting that buffalo spiffed.
So what do we do?
So what we all are talking, and we're saying, we need some documentation here.
That we got to get a picture.
Got to get a picture. Hey, maybe that guy will give us a picture on the 50-yard line.
Yeah, and here I'm thinking, if we go up to this guy, he's going to kick us out. He's going to call security, and we're out. But what happened?
So I remember going up to him and I said, hey, sorry to interrupt you. Would you take a picture of us here on the 50-yard line? And
he shuts his vacuum off.
Yeah, he shuts his vacuum off. And he says, yeah, sure, sure. And I said, oh, hey, by the way, what's your name? He goes, Dusty.
Like, Dusty.
Vacuum Dusty. Of course. It just had to be. So we give him the camera.
Yeah.
And we're all set up on the 50-yard line.
Doesn't even ask us who we are.
No. Nothing. And he's got the camera. And if I remember this right, his fingers were over the front of it, if I remember right. And I'm like, wait, Dusty, fingers.
Yeah.
He just sort of pops them up, snaps the
picture. We got a great shot at the 50-yard line. As a matter of fact, you know, we did some research before we put this particular show together. We dug into the archives and we actually found an interview with Dusty.
That's right.
Yeah. So we are going to share that with you right now.
Hello again, everyone. It's good to have you with us for this exceptional event. We are coming to you from Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, for the historical meeting between the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, featuring the inimitable Tom Brady at quarterback, versus the Buffalo Bills, who are coming off a 3-game winning streak. It is the first time these two teams will meet on the gridiron since the Patriots dealt their former franchise quarterback Drew Bledsoe to the Bills. We now take you down to the field for a most interesting interview with a person playing an astounding role in today's game. Take it away, Biff Barnes.
Thanks, Howard. Biff Barnes here, coming to you from down on the field. I'm joined today by a member of the field crew who has a most important job in preparing the playing surface for today's game. Welcome, Dusty. Dusty, what is your title?
Hello, Biff. I'm head crew chief here in charge of the field section.
Field section, you say?
Field section. I run the vacuum.
The vacuum. Interesting. Now, what kind of surface is this here at the stadium?
It's artificial northern Samsonia. It's very important for the player safety to make sure there's no the dirt, the dander, the dust bunnies, vomit, blood, feces, stick stones, paper cups, silverware, hot dogs, or beer cans. Oh, excuse me a minute. Oh, I just found a sewing needle. Hazardous to player safety. But that's also why I carry this piece of equipment.
Whoa! Look at that, Biff. That's impressive. Very impressive, Dusty. Well, thank you so much. Good luck for the rest of the game, and we're back to you, Howard.
Well, that was Howard Cosell.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. The voice of the past.
So that was Dusty at the 50-yard line. So, yeah, so there we go. We got our picture taken.
It's quite the groundskeeper.
But that's not the end of the story.
Not at all.
There's more to the story.
More?
We have several pictures that we took because we knew nobody was going to believe that this actually happened. And I actually remember my wife, Pat, and our friends were having a party to watch the game at our friends, the Cotter's house. So I called Pat. I told them, you guys are not going to believe this, but we are actually down on the field. And they're like, nah, get out of here. No, you're not. I'm like, yes, we are down on the field. And, you know, of course, they didn't believe it until they saw the pictures.
No.
So now after that picture, I remember we walked to the uprights, had some pictures taken there.
Yeah. And there were some guys sticking around.
Yes.
The ball boys were out there.
That's right. The guys that catch the ball when it hits the nets after the field.
They were just out there kicking field goals, just playing around.
Yeah.
So What did we do?
Of course, we asked them if we could kick some field goals.
Again, we walk up to these guys. Nobody ever asked us who we were, what we were doing. Yeah. And we're like, guys, hey, do you mind? Can we try kicking some field goals?
Because, you know, if anybody would come up to you, Dave, and said, hey, who the hell are you guys? You would have said, I'm so sorry.
I would have put the handcuffs on me now.
You would have held the arms.
Take me away.
I'm a bad man.
Check out our Facebook page, The Fog Podcast. There are pictures of us kicking field goals down on the field in Buffalo.
Attempting to kick field goals.
I shouldn't say kicking.
It's not as easy as it looks.
It is not.
And you know what the surprising thing was? When we said, hey, do you mind if we kick field goals? These guys said, no, we'll shag the balls for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're like,
sure, go ahead, try it.
Let's go.
Then we made our way over to the Patriots sideline. And on the table there's all those phones that the coaches... Yeah.
The red phones.
Yeah.
Red lines. Yeah.
Yeah, that they use to talk to the guys up in the booth. And we got a picture of Gibby holding the phone. And
this is 2002, so there were real phones.
Yeah, real phones. Yeah. I think he had a rotary dial in, right?
And there was a heated bench. You've got a nice picture of us.
Heated bench, sitting on the bench. Yep.
Right. And right about the time where we were, you know, messing around with the gear and the bench, what starts happening is slowly... Players
start coming out.
Start filtering in.
And this is where I got really nervous. I'm like, oh my God, these players are coming out. We're still on the sideline. And let's remember, folks, we don't have a lanyard. We don't have any kind of pass.
No. No.
We have nothing. We have nothing.
But we don't even have our tickets.
That's right. We don't even have our tickets to the game.
We walked in the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Our tickets were back on the bus.
But as Mr. Gibbs said, we walked around like we owned the place.
Oh, we did, yeah. Yeah. So I remember seeing Bledsoe come out. I remember Brady came out, and I think they fist bumped it at the 50-yard line.
They stopped. They had a nice chat.
Yep.
Like old pals.
Yeah, we were right there.
Yeah,
we got pictures of it. Some of the players, we were sitting on the bench. We have a picture of this, too. We were sitting on the bench, and some of the players were sitting on the bench with us.
Yeah. And all the Boston sportscasters were there on the sideline doing their pregame interviews and... you know, Lobel and the other guy. And who comes out but Bob Kraft?
Well, now, were you guys there when Bob Kraft came out?
Oh, yeah.
We were there when he came out.
You were?
We weren't there when you and him and Brent.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, do you guys want to say what happened, what you guys did next? Or Because this happened after you guys.
Sure. At one point, we'd been there quite a while. And... as you said earlier, we'd done some tailgating.
And there wasn't enough room on the bench. We had to get off. There wasn't enough room for the players.
The other thing, there were no porta potties, unfortunately, on the field.
Yeah.
So I had to make water. So guys, I gotta go. I mean, I really gotta go. So Norm, I don't know if you had to go also or if you said, well, I'll go with you.
Yeah, I was a camel.
So yeah. So we left you two. Safely ensconced on the bench with the other Patriot players. And we kind of walked up one of the runways that leads down onto the field. And the first door we came to, I said, well, I'm going to pop in here. There's probably a restroom in there. So I open the door. Norm and I step in. And all of a sudden, 9 zebras look up. And we freeze. I said, be just a second. I run in there. I use their bathroom.
Oh, so you walked into the referee getting ready.
They're getting dressed. Oh yeah. Same thing. I used their can.
Oh my.
And then I came out of the can. I thought, well, let's go back to the bench, but no dice. At that point,
they were
security.
Ours. They were out. They couldn't get back in.
Yeah.
So
it was 11:30, and the gates. We're opening for the fans.
Yep.
And so all the security, security was coming down to the rim of the field.
Yeah.
And
JT and I
were
still on the sidelines. So where did you guys go?
So at that point, everybody walking down that ramp has got lanyards on.
Yeah.
There's security. So you know, we really, We said, let's go. Yeah. Let's go tailgate a while, whatever. So we walked out of the stadium. Nobody's going to stop you from walking out of the stadium.
Right. So,
you know. Tickets, please. Yeah.
So we walked out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And headed back to the bus stop.
Went right back with expectation that the tailgater might be still going on.
Yeah.
You know, we get our tickets.
Have something to eat, have a few beers, yep. Grab our tickets.
Right. And again, we didn't have our tickets.
No.
Yep.
Right.
So how did you guys get your tickets?
Well, that's just it.
We walked up,
We got back to the bus. Nothing.
Nobody's there.
There's not a soul. There's not a cheese to be had.
I think there was like a half drunk Budweiser.
Well, there's probably plenty of. So, you know, we're like, oh, we're screwed. And then I don't know what made you look.
I know. Yeah.
But Norm looks on the front of the bus. And there's four tickets on the
windshield wipers.
The windshield wipers, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Some genius decided to leave them there. And thank God they did.
Otherwise, we'd be sitting in the parking lot all day.
Well,
guess what? We made it to the field, missed the game.
So those geniuses actually are relatives of yours, right, Norm?
Yes, they are. It was my brother. I think my brother-in-law Gino put the tickets there, and they were with some of my other brother-in-laws, Kevin, Paul, Brian's.
Yeah.
And so they're all in the stadium now, and we've got our tickets, and we're like, let's head in.
Yeah. So to get a different perspective on that, we actually got in touch with Norm's relatives that were also on this bus trip, and we interviewed them. And we're going to take a listen to that right now. Okay, here's a foghorn for you. Now you're officially welcomed into the Fog Podcast.
Well, it's an honor to be welcomed in.
So it's
Kevin Crovo,
Kevin, Brian, and Paul.
Paul.
And Sonny, too? Sonny. Yep. And Sonny. Awesome. All right, so here we are on the Fog Podcast. We are talking about, of course, November of 2002, the big bus trip to Buffalo. And you guys know the story of the four of us ending up on the field. So we're really looking for what you guys recall about that trip. In other words, did you guys wonder what happened to us?
Well, wait a minute. Let's reframe that.
Yeah.
Did you guys care what happened to us? Did anybody notice us missing?
I remember walking to try to buy some cigars, you know, all those tents that were set up outside the stadium.
Yeah.
I was going out, and you guys were walking toward the stadium. But he had a bed sheet for a sling.
Yes.
Going on.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're walking to go see if they had a first aid station that was open. Right. And that was the last I saw you guys. We were cleaning up.
So you guys actually went into the stadium, took your seats, and we were not there. Is that correct?
I don't remember seeing any of you guys until like midway through the
right.
At least the first quarter, right? It was pretty late.
And I don't remember seeing anybody either.
the only thing I remember, I'm saying to myself, they just stayed here and drank Bud Heavy with us. They'd be okay, and they wouldn't have that great experience.
That's right. There you go. We either had Bud Heavies or we were kicking footballs in the field. I remember when we exited the stadium, it was you and I, Gibby, right? And we're like, oh, hey, we'll go back and go to the tailgater. We show up. It's like a barren desert. Everything's packed up, and we're like, oh, where are they? You know, it was our turn to wonder where they were. And then all of a sudden I realized, we don't have our football tickets.
Where are the tickets?
They were on the bus.
They were on the windshield wiper. Whose idea was that? Do you guys know? Was that Gino? Who?
It has to be Gino. He was in charge of it.
Who remembers, like, when did you find out what actually happened? And what was your reaction?
I remember seeing the original injury in the parking lot.
The sling.
Yep.
Yeah. And that
made up sling.
Like, wasn't it like 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning? And I, Norm, you might know my buddy Jack Malley.
Yes.
He's with me, and we're watching your buddy running patterns like parking lot. You know those little cement parts, you know, when you pull your car up to it, this isn't going to end well. He's just weaving around, and all of a sudden, he goes down.
So they actually witnessed it.
Yeah, and I witnessed it.
I was in the parking lot when he did. But he kind of got right back up.
Yeah, of course, he bounced right back up.
If you know,
yeah, he was probably embarrassed or whatever, and then realized how serious the injury, and then the Dr. Tim.
Yeah,
Dr. Tim, the chiropractor. Yep.
The chiropractor turned orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, I remember when I talked to him, I said, "Hey, how bad is it? You're the closest thing we have to a doctor." And he said, "Yeah, it's pretty bad. We probably
nice
should
compliment."
Yeah. Yeah, right. He's like, "We probably should take him to the hospital." I'm like, "Yeah, it's almost time to tailgate, right?"
Yeah.
And then it's like, "So Tim, this could be your first Medicaid patient. What would you suggest?" I think we give him ibuprofen and immobilize him.
Yeah. So Norman and Jeff, you guys got back to the seats then before JT and I did. So you must have told everybody what happened when you got back. And everyone was like, "Where have you guys been?"
Well, let me ask the guys. My recollection is nobody believed us.
Yeah,
is that true?
I remember hearing the story from you, Norm, and being in disbelief. First off, they'd even got in the place.
Yeah, I know, really.
And never mind that you got to see a medical staff in the place. And that you were kicking field goals on the field. And were the players on the field, if I remember right? I think you said some of them were.
They started to come on, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Kraft came out.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask this question. How many times has Norman told and retold and retold this story to you guys?
I always like hearing it. And I think there's a picture in the basement, right?
Say again?
There's a picture in the basement, yeah.
Is there a picture in the basement?
There is. Actually, it's right in front of us.
Actually,
we relive it every time we go to Norm's house.
I think the real question is to ask is, when Norm retells the story, does he ever tell it the same?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
One of these days, I'm going to say I suited up and played the first quarter.
Exactly, yeah.
So one other thing, just to give the audience a little bit of feel for the game. Sonny, you were telling a story about Belichick. Can you retell that?
Because there were so many of us in the end zone when the players came out. All of us rose up. There must have been about 3,000 to 4,000 people in the end zone. And the Patriots players, supposed to practice on the other side, they came running to our side. And they started raising their hands and going crazy, right?
Yeah.
Getting the crowd up. And so after the game, Belichick started his press conference saying, "Before I start, I want to give a shout out to the fans in the end zone. I can't believe how great they were, and they gave us, you know, a big lift and whatnot." You know,
great story.
Oh, too funny. Yeah. Too funny.
So was this a one and done trip, or did you guys, were there any other bus trips like this, or this was the only one?
We had another bus trip, but we didn't invite you guys.
Yeah.
Now the truth comes
smart,
out.
Smart, smart.
Yeah, smart.
We've been banned for most of the AFC stadiums.
we were all envious.
Yeah, we don't want those four guys. We'll have to hear that story all over again.
Well, hey, want to thank you guys for joining us today and giving a little bit of different perspective on that fun day we had. It was terrific. Burned in our memories.
Yeah, 22 years ago.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks again. We appreciate you being on the Fog Podcast, and have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for the bug. Right.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Oh, Norm, you got the right address to mail a check to?
Oh, whoa. Hey, let's turn the line on.
Picking up a lot of static there.
Yeah, we didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
See you in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much.
Keep checking that mailbox, Paul. Okay?
Okay.
All right. See you guys.
Take care, guys.
Cheers.
That's the story from the brothers-in-law.
Multiples.
And so we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to finish up this incredible story. You work hard and play hard. So when you reach for a sports drink to replenish those fluids, you want to make sure you're reaching for the best. Gush.
Gush.
Gush sports drinks are the wettest on the market. Most sports drinks contain ingredients that dry out the liquid, leaving them less wet. With Gush,
Gush,
We use only the wettest ingredients, guaranteeing you'll resaturate your body in no time. Yes, Gush may be susceptible to more spillage, but that's a small price to pay. Gush Sports Drinks.
Gush.
Available everywhere.
Do you wish your mornings began like this? But they don't because of this? If this sounds like you or your partner, get down to the Snore Store. At the Snore Store, our experts will evaluate your condition. It may be a symptom of obstructive sleep apnea, or you might just be a real pain in the ass. Once evaluated, our SSEs, or Snore Store experts, will fit you with a comfortable, soft, full facial anti-snoring apparatus. So your snoring will go from this to this.
I can't breathe.
And you'll go from this to this. Visit the Snore Store downtown, right next to Zach's Axe and Facts Emporium. You'll be glad you did.
And now back to the Fog Podcast.
And we are back at the Fog with the four old guys. And when we last left our heroes, you two, you guys made your way, what, back into the stadium?
Yep. To our now, assigned seats.
Did you guys run? Did you have to show your tickets to anybody or?
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah. So you had to walk, you had to re-enter with your tickets
legally.
And you must have had our tickets with you.
Yeah.
So let's remember now. JT and myself are still down on the sidelines, no tickets, and so we're just kind of standing there going, you know, it's getting close to like game. I'm feeling, man, I'm sweating. I'm like, how are we going to get out of here? You know, and JT, who came walking up to us?
Yeah, the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, and a couple other individuals came up to us and thinking that we were some representatives from Coca-Cola or some other organization. Put on their goody two-shoes face and greeted us with salutations.
Walked right up to us. He was walking through the crowd, Robert Kraft, shaking people's hands. He gets to me and JT and he puts his hand down and goes, hi, Robert Kraft. And JT and I just shook his hand and I'm like, I can't say anything. We're like, I'm not supposed to be here. Hi, how are you? It was so bizarre. So then like people are starting, I'm telling you, it was crowded on the sidelines then. You remember that, JT?
Yeah, it was getting close too.
Yeah.
Kickoff is 1 o'clock and it was about 12:30, quarter of one.
So we're thinking we're busted. There's no way. How do we get out of here? So what actually happened is this might help your memory a little bit. So there was actually a marching band on the field. You remember that, JT?
Yeah.
So he and I look at each other. We're like, look it, this is our only chance. This is our only chance. So the marching band is playing. Once they finished, they turn and they start exiting the field. And JT and I are watching them and we see them open up a little door to the stadium and they just start, they hop up and they go to get into the, you know, off the field and into the stadium. So JT and I run out onto the field and get in the middle of this marching band. And we walked out with the band. You remember that, JT?
Yes, that was that cover.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we just, what is it? Like, act like you own the place. We're part of the band.
Were you the sax player?
So we just hopped up, but we didn't have our tickets. So I don't know how we found our seats. I don't know how we found you guys.
Did you call us?
I don't know, but I think we had a general idea of where the seats were.
Yeah.
And I think we just found you guys, but oh my gosh.
Reunited.
Oh, it was absolutely, absolutely insane that nobody ever questioned us.
The funny thing, though, is when we got back to our seats, we had this incredible story to tell.
Yeah.
And it was truly, it was unbelievable. As we're telling it, I'm like, they don't believe us.
They know we're lying.
Yeah, this can't be true.
We're like, we got to get this film developed. Right. You know, we got to get these pictures back.
Don't lose the cameras.
Yeah. I remember going back to work the next day, telling everybody the stories, and they were like, are you kidding me? And when we got the pictures back, oh man, I was so excited to show them. See, look, we were not kidding.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. And I took the pictures to the local newspaper and I'm like, hey, can I talk to the sports guy? And they let me in and I talked to the sports guy. I told him the story. I showed him the pictures and he actually did a write-up and put a picture in the paper and,
what paper was it?
That was the world-renowned Athol Daily News. Yeah. Yep.
And several security personnel in Buffalo lost their jobs.
Well, this is my concern. Once this gets out, you know, they may have to rethink. Statute of limitations, yeah. I think 22 years, we're probably good.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when the game was over, yep. JT, how were you during the game? Did we were you pumping beers or what?
No, I think I took some more ibuprofen and being on the cold side. Now, it wasn't freezing, but it was cold.
Yeah.
And us winning was helping.
Oh, yeah, that helped. 38-7. Yeah,
just gutted it out. Of course, it was there. I felt it. But what I was really concerned about, and it proved to be true, was the 8 to 9 hour ride.
The ride home.
Yeah.
That was probably the most
brutal,
memorable part of the whole situation as far as the injury.
Yeah.
Well, as I recall, you moaned and whined like a little girl the whole ride.
I think everybody was just saying, turn up the volume on the video.
Oh, there's a guy in agony back here, wailing.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, after the game, we all boarded back on the bus.
Back on the bus.
Yeah.
I think we might have grabbed a little chow just to hold us over.
There. Okay.
Then, you know.
Post-game feed.
It's Buffalo. It's November. It's dark at 4:30. You know?
Yeah.
You've got a 9-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
So grab something to eat, got back on the bus, and getting ready to go. And what happens? We start hearing someone banging on the bus. So we'd done a head count, so we knew everyone was there. Open the door of the bus, and there's this haggard, disheveled guy begging for a ride. We're like, what do you mean a ride? He goes, the bus I came on has already gone. I passed out. They left without me. I got to get back to Massachusetts. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm telling you. Well, where do you live? He says, he lives in Lawrence. So I said, all right, well, listen, I'll give him a ride home if you guys let him get on the bus to take him home. So got this.
Did we take a vote? Who let him on the bus, man?
Apparently there was an open seat or something. The guy was disheveled and stinky, passed out drunk. But we let him on the bus because we're all, good-hearted people.
Okay.
And then I ended up taking this guy. I delivered him right to his doorstep.
Oh, my God.
I think he got home before anybody else on that bus or this got home.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And all the way home, he's like, hey, man, can I have a cigarette? I'm like, no. No, you cannot have a cigarette.
In your car? When you
Yeah, in my car. No.
My car up, yeah.
Oh, man. So, JT, if I remember correctly, didn't I pick you up at your apartment to take?
Yes.
And we rode together to the bus. So
the
I must.
Fam, right.
Yeah, because we were trying to figure out, did you have to drive home? But I think I drove you home.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, did you go to the doctor the next day or?
Yes. I also distinctly remember, of course, it's 1 o'clock in the morning-ish in Waltham. We part ways, say goodbye to everybody, get back to Fitchburg, and you were nice enough to walk me upstairs and help me get my coat off. And I can remember that probably was the height of the
pain situation,
getting that coat on.
Let me say it's a darn good thing that I did not have Skippy Square tires on my car for that ride home.
because speaking of the bus ride, for the first 2 hours or so, I was sitting in a seat. But the way the seats are in a bus, it's right up against your shoulders. And I couldn't hang anymore. So the last 6 hours of the bus ride, I was standing. That was quite the haul. Yeah. So yeah, I went to the doctor the next day, and it was a separation of my shoulder up in the on the arm where the arm hits the shoulder as opposed to the shoulder blade.
Did you tell him the story?
No, I don't think I went into too much detail.
No. Oh, man, I'd be bragging about that.
So let me tell you, is your shoulder back to new? Was your shoulder fully healed?
No repercussions. And it was my left shoulder, which was helpful, obviously, because I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
And my postal career continued on.
There you go.
Guys.
Well, that's it. That's quite the way to wrap up the season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how you solidify a friendship. That one went down in history, man.
It's in the Athol Daily News, and that is the record of history in this area of the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And just to reiterate, the photos will be on the website.
On the website.
Check them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can see all the fun.
Oh, yeah. Don't miss it. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the final episode of the Fog Podcast. I don't know what to say. I mean, it was quite the episode to cap it off. Yep. We might be back for some extra, you know, just we will let you know if we're coming back.
Sure.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Well, Dave, this podcast, it just goes into that list of memorable things that the four of us have done together, you know, just to add another line to that long list of fun.
Absolutely. This is what keeps us going.
That's right.
And I can say 40 plus years with you guys, it's been quite a fun.
Oh,
it's
been a great time.
Good ride.
It's been the best.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed hearing the stories. Yeah.
More adventures to come, we hope.
You got it.
Yes.
So JT, thank you for joining us for the Fog Podcast, a member of the Fog Podcast crew.
All the way from sunny Florida.
Yep.
No, thank you for having me along. Great job and great work from all accounts, from the three of you, plus all the background people and all the staff and crew.
Yes. Many, many, many people to thank that helped us put this thing together. But we will probably be talking to you again in the near future there, JT.
Righto.
All right.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Old guys.
All right.
JT.
All right, boys. I think we're wrapping, huh?
It's a wrap.
I think we're wrapping.
It's a wrap. It's been fun. Talk to you next podcast.
Yeah, we will get together for maybe an after, you know, post game show.
Yeah, a little wrap up for the season.
Something like that.
Bonus episode.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening. The Fog Podcast has been brought to you by Calm Seas of Hilton Head.
The Fog Podcast is a Gibbro Pandoli production and is recorded at Lennox Studios in beautiful downtown Athol, Massachusetts. The Fog Podcast is produced by Norm Broder, Jeff Gibbs, Dave Panicio, and James Taroli. All comedy bits and commercials were written and produced by the Fog Podcast crew. The Fog Podcast theme, Night Thunder, is performed by Abby Noyes. All sound effects and royalty-free music are courtesy of Upbeat. A special thanks to the following contributors: Pat Pandicio, Nancy Gibbs, Nancy Broder, Caitlin Lynch, James Peters, Linda Cotter, Julia Nelson, Ava Heath, Oliver Heath, Matt Glover, Rick Brackett, Amy Woods, Bob Miller, Brian Broder, Eloise DeFederico, Travis Heath, Stephanie DeFederico, Robin Gleason, Christina Giglio, Gina Daniels, Brian Can, Kevin Crovo, Paul Crovo, and Sunny Atienza. Thanks for listening. I'm your announcer, Natalie Heath.
All of us here at the Fog Podcast would like to dedicate this episode to Gene Kerrigan, devoted father, great brother-in-law, and friend.